If you don't mind, I'm going to stay here. I'm used to this place, and I have a fear of heights. I really kind of do. Went off to Chicago once to visit Anna when they lived up there in Chicago, and they took us to the Sears Tower. I see no reason to go up there. It's pretty tall. So I'm staying here. This morning, let's read a bit in 2 Peter. We're going to cover the last little section there at the end of chapter 1. But I'll read beginning in verse 12. Wherefore shall I be ready always to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and you are established in the truth which is with you. And I think it right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that the putting off of my tabernacle cometh swiftly, even as our Lord Jesus Christ signified unto me. Yea, well, I will give diligence that at every time ye may be able, after my decease, to call these things in remembrance. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were witnesses of his majesty, and for he received from the Father honor and glory when there was born such a voice to him by the majestic glory. That is, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice we ourselves heard, born out of heaven when we were with him on the holy mount. And we have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto ye do well if you take heed, as a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawn and the star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is a private interpretation, for no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spoke from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. Our subject this morning is the Scripture, and I can it says there, just right there at the end, as we read, it says, no prophecy of Scripture is a private interpretation. That he really, Peter didn't really just tell us he's getting ready to talk about Scripture, but that's what he was doing. And so at the very end, he says, I just want you to know that Scripture, that's what we've been discussing here, the Scripture. And Peter is reminding them, they all knew these things, he said, but I just want to remind you one more last time. In case I die, put it bluntly, you only have the day that you've got. Isn't that right? The moment that you've got. So Peter says, I'm going to remind this to you. Now, Paul, the great apostle, was a wonderful mystic. And he spoke of great and glorious things, which Peter says were hard to understand. But Peter's much more of a... He speaks much more simply. He just reminds them, you guys stick with the Scripture. You'll be all right. And that's what he basically says in this passage. And so that's our subject, is the Scripture. Now, right where it begins there, it says, we have the prophecy, the word of prophecy made more sure. And there Peter is referencing all the prophets and the Word of God. Prophecy being made more sure. And he says God has done that, and he did it when John and I and James were up in that mountain and we heard this voice. And so we heard this voice from heaven. And Peter is saying, you have this prophecy from God about Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. It's in the Scripture, and they reference it all the time. The new Matthew's gospel is just full of, and this was to fulfill the what it was said in the Scripture. You know, when you read Matthew, it's just Matthew just goes after it. over and over again, referencing the scripture. And the word of Christ, the prophecy in the Old Testament, Peter is saying, stick with that. You've got it. Hold on to it. And not only do you have the scripture, you know the scripture is wonderful. And Paul would say to Timothy, you know, you've had the scripture since you were a little boy. But he says, stick to it. And we have the prophecy of the Old Testament made more sure. In other, there's another witness to the things of Christ. There's another witness to the things of God. And that witness was there on that mountain when the Lord spoke out of heaven, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. That's one of the most amazing accounts we have in the gospel record. Listen to him. And here, Peter is referencing that experience. And so the New Testament writers were just full of this thing that the scripture spoke of Jesus' day. I could read you a whole flock of them. I may do it. Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Peter stands and preaches, and he says, brethren, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth of David. Acts chapter 4, verse 25. And the apostles are praying, and Acts gives an account of their prayer. And they say to the Lord, O Lord, by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, didst say. In other words, the Holy Spirit is speaking back in the Old Testament. Y'all all know this. I'm not giving you any new information. But it's just repeated throughout the New Testament, Acts chapter 28, verse 25. And Paul is there in Rome, and he says this. He says this amazing statement. Rightly, the Holy Spirit spoke through Isaiah, the prophet. Remember, he's telling the Jews, he's preaching about the things of Christ there in Rome, and the Jews bicker about it and snide, and they resist. And so Paul the apostle says the Holy Spirit spoke through Isaiah the prophet. So the Old Testament for the New Testament church was breathed out by the Spirit of God. And Leah Beth, several months ago now, I guess, I don't know how long it's been, honey, when she talked about the tabernacle. Y'all, how long has that been? Doesn't matter, does it? She spoke about the tabernacle. In Hebrews chapter 9, the Holy Spirit, it says, the Holy Spirit was signifying certain things via the tabernacle worship. And the writer of Hebrews says, the Holy Spirit was talking to us when the description of the tabernacle and the temple was laid out. God was speaking via the Holy Spirit. Of course, the apostles were all alive with the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Paul the apostle, remember that day when he talked to Emmaus, the physician? I think that's how you say that fella's name. Is that how you say his name? The magician? But remember that guy wanted to buy the power to give the Holy Spirit. Y'all remember that fella? The scripture says, Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to him, you are full of deceit and fraud. So the early church was very aware that God could speak via the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit through men. In Acts chapter 4, verse 8, it says, Peter there at Pentecost, filled with the Holy Spirit, he says, rulers, men of Israel. And he preaches that glorious sermon. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, they're praying, and it says the place was shaken, and the whole church, after they were being threatened, that Sanhedrin had threatened them and said, you stop preaching in the name of Jesus. And the early church, the church there prays there in Jerusalem. And it says the whole church was just filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak the word of God with more boldness. The first church, by experience, knew that God could speak through men via the Holy Spirit. They knew it. Paul later on says, when he was talking to the Ephesian church, he says, everywhere I go, the Holy Spirit has solemnly been testifying to me that what awaits me in Jerusalem is bonds and affliction. They were really up to speed on it. That's kind of a modern term. They really knew about this spiritual God spoke. So we have Peter saying that God has made the Scripture more sure. Now listen, is the Scripture, it's always been sure. I mean, it never got more sure. It was always sure. What he's saying is God made the Scripture more sure to you. God is showing it quite literally that Jesus was the Messiah, and all the prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus would be the Messiah would be coming, and he would die on the cross. God's made this all more sure to you via what happened on that mountain that we've reported to you. Now, the prophecy has been made more sure to you. He's talking about Scripture. So our subject, back to this, the Spirit of God speaking to men in Scripture. I'm very grateful about what Mark said about how to start a day with Scripture. Listen, I'm going to read the text again for this morning. We have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto you do well if you take heed, as unto a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And then he says this, know this first about what? The Scripture, that no prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation. For no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. Peter's wanting to nail this down. Before I die, I want you people to know this. The Bible, the prophecies of God in the Old Testament, read them, pay heed to them. He wants them to look at them. And to, well, heed them. We'll get more to that. But first of all, God is not above affirming the Scripture to us or reaffirming the Scripture to us or doing something that seals Scripture in our heart. He did that with James and John and Peter on the mountain. They had all the prophecies about the Messiah, but boy, God is not above confirming His Word to us. How many times have God spoken to you in the Word of God, and somehow or another, maybe in that very day or in some instance, the Word of God was confirmed to you, and you said, oh, that's true. God's not above confirming the Word of God to us. Whether it comes from a voice from heaven on a holy mountain or just some small little experience in our life. The Lord is my shepherd. We're going to talk about that tonight. God, you know Psalm 23, but in your own experience, God has made it real that He has shepherded you. So, it says he's made the Word of God he says that we are to take heed of the Word of God as a lamp shining in a dark place. The Word of God, Psalm 119 is full of it, but we don't realize how precious light is. We throw switches. Danny isn't here, so I can say this. He built in my house a really beautiful house. We love it. But up into the ceiling, there's these recessed lights. And if you want to turn on one light, you turn on 10 of them. And I'm just sitting there going, man, money's just flowing out, that meter. So I went around and unscrewed a few of them, and it irritates Leah Beth. She thinks they're burned out. They're not. But we're so used to light just coming on. You just hit a switch, and all these lights come on. The Scripture is painted to us as a lamp in a dark place. Not a light among a hundred, but a single light shining in dark places. And we have forgotten what it means. How dark things can be, because light's so easy for us. Back when we had the storm hit, I don't know how long it was, an ice storm. We were living out on the old Spanish Bluff Road, and the lights were out there. They never came. I mean, those people that lived out in the country didn't mean anything to the power company. The light was burning here in Nacogdoches, but it was dark out there on the old Spanish Bluff Road for a couple weeks. Remember that time we'd drive down, and there wouldn't be a light on anywhere. Every once in a while, you'd drive by a little house over there on the old Spanish Bluff Road, and there'd be a candle. You could see a candle in that window. Someone had a candle lit. The Scripture's like that to us. It just, if you know what darkness is, you know what a glory it is to have light. Scripture in a dark place. I tell you, it is dark, and I've been saying this kind of repeatedly, and I'm going to do it again. We live in a dark day. Again, we're deceived by all these lights. We're deceived by the bright and sunny morning that came up this morning. We're deceived by all the information. My goodness, I could get online and type in some disease, and volumes come up on the internet. I'm informed. I don't know how Mark stands it. People come into his office, Dr. Mark, come into his office, and they know everything before they even walk in there. They've looked it up on the internet. It used to be a doctor had held all that information. He had it. You were going there to get it from him. Not anymore. I'm coming here, and I'm telling you what I've got. You give me pills now. A subscription is what you get in a magazine or something. Anyway, but you see, information is so prevalent, and we hardly know how dark our day is. And it's getting darker, by the way. Our country's getting dark. The lights are going out. The Scripture is a light in darkness. Leah Beth said when she first started teaching school, whole flocks of her kids knew the Bible. Isn't that right? And, it was just a common thing. She would mention some Bible story, and they all go. She said, now you go to these Baptist kids sitting in front of her, they don't know the common Bible stories. I'm not pulling your leg here. I'm not speaking against my brethren in any other church. They just don't know the glorious Bible stories that we just... It's getting darker. She would teach literary terms and literary stuff to her students, and she'd say, you need to know the Bible just for literary reasons. You know, you just mention the wisdom of King Solomon. In the old days, everybody knew it, whether it was any author would know these things. Any reader in America would know these things. Not anymore. It's getting darker. So we have the scripture in a dark day. We have the scripture until. You know, the scripture is going to be good until the end of the day. The end time. The scripture doesn't become irrelevant in 2000... You name a date. It's not going to become irrelevant. It says, pay a heed to the scripture until the lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, until the last trumpet sounds and the bright morning star appears and the lights begin. I love he's speaking here of the dawning of Christ's return. I want you to know that is going to be a glorious sunrise. I love sunrises, by the way. I love mornings. I just think they're the best days ever, part of the day. And if you've ever been worried, and if you ever looked off into the distance and you see the morning star, there's coming a day when Christ, our morning star, will come. And the day will dawn, and it'll be bright and glorious forever. And you know what? We won't need the scripture anymore. There'll probably be some tedious guy at a seminary professor, that'll insist on studying the Bible in heaven. God will be there, right there with him. He'll say, no. But that's okay. We'll let him slide. But we won't need scripture. It says we have the scripture, and we pay heed to the scripture until the day dawns. And the bright morning star, it says, arises. And so when the scripture is this light, we take it for granted. It's magnificent, the scripture. But there's a brightness coming. But in the meantime, we have it. And we are to pay heed to it in this dark day. Now, it says, take heed. We all know what take heed is, don't you? Do y'all pay attention to road signs? I remember distinctly, I don't know if little Abigail, my daughter, will hear this or not. But we're driving to Houston in the middle of the night to take Abigail off to the airport. She's going to fly back to someplace, you know, probably New Zealand somewhere. And I'm sleeping. I don't know where we were going. We were taking her to the airport for sure. I'm kind of sleeping on the way. It's about 2 in the morning. And I look up and I kind of look over there, across the way there, and she's driving pretty good. And I glance over there and there's a sign that says 55 or 40 or something. And I say, honey, you better slow down. She said, no, it's okay. She should have taken heed. The scripture is meant to be paid attention to. Because I mean, moments later, I was stirred again afresh, and there's lights flashing, and guy comes up, and he writes her a ticket. It's really good. And she, he gives it to her, and he says, slow down. And he goes back to his car and in safety and quietness. And I'm in the car with my daughter crying. I said, honey, why don't you cry when the cop is here? He won't give you a ticket. No one can resist Abigail's tears, can they, Anna? I said, cry when the cop is here. Better than that, though, is not cry over it. Pay heed to the speeding, the sign. Pay heed. The scriptures are to be heeded in a dark place. Oh, I don't need that. I don't need the scripture. I've got modern science. I've got the internet. I've got Google. I've got Bing or Bang or whatever web search engine. You know, there's one called DuckDuckGo or Go. Where do they come up with this stuff? Well, we think we could search out all of human knowledge via the internet. It's in this book. Take heed, he says. And he gives us a reason why we should take heed. It says, knowing this, that prophecies of Scripture is no prophecy of Scripture is a private interpretation. No prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. Now he throws this little thing in here. It says, knowing this, that prophecy of Scripture is not a private interpretation. That's kind of a odd way he goes at it. But the meaning is this, simple enough. God has spoken, and he means what he means. He says something in Scripture, and it's not like a man is saying things, or that the Scripture speaks, and then human beings take the Scripture and have a right to say what it means. Do you know the Roman Catholic Church believes that they are the true interpreters of the Scripture? That the clergy has a right to tell the church what the Bible means. Here's Peter, their guy. No prophecy is of a private interpretation. It means what it means, and it doesn't matter who men say what it means. So Peter is saying, look, pay heed to the Scripture, because God has spoken, and he has spoken his will, and his will is unique in that Scripture and the meaning of it is God's thought on things. Just like, it was good this morning. The Scripture means what it means. I think it also, that when the idea here is that no prophecy of Scripture that is of not of private interpretation, I think it also means that we should be humble before the Scripture. The Scripture means certain things. And that's what it means. And if we're to understand Scripture, we need God's aid. I hope you can call to mind that Scripture in Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Jesus appears after the resurrection. It says, He opened their minds to understand the Scripture. Luke chapter 24. The Scripture is a locked box. A locked. The light in it is locked away. You'll never see it unless God opens your heart to it. That is frightening. Men don't approach Scripture and the meaning of Scripture and put their interpretation on Scripture. They have no right to. It means what it means. And we must discover it in life and be very low before God and say, Lord, show me what this means. You know how you know when a person's saved or not? Steve's been talking about proofs of the Scripture in John's Gospel, but I've heard it over and over all my life when about people getting saved, and then they'd say, and then the Scripture just became alive to me. What happened? Before, they didn't know what the Scripture meant. They'd read the Scripture, and they'd scratch their head and say, what, you know? I mean, I don't think we all know what all the Scripture means, for sure. But the Scripture must be taught by other Scripture and by the Holy Spirit Himself. He teaches us. All right. And then Peter gets really negative here. He starts off negative. No prophecy ever came by the will of man. The Scripture, no one sat down and said, I'm going to write Scripture today. Now, with exception maybe of Moses. I kind of think maybe Moses knew what he was doing. And sat, you know, he clearly wrote it all out. But in the New Testament at least, and many of the prophets, they just preached. It wasn't the will of man that determined. God communicated with men. No prophecy ever came by the will of man. That's a strong statement. The Scripture was not of human origin. It's a glory. We have it. It says, then men spake, that's the King James, men spoke from God. God was speaking, and they were the mere instrument. It says men were moved by the Holy Spirit or carried about by the Holy Spirit. You know, now, we have known this in our fellowship here. We know when the Spirit's working. Now, maybe not to a degree of as Scripture, but we do know what it means to be moved along by the Holy Spirit. Do you not? Do you know that? You've heard a preacher stand and you could just feel it coming out. And this is to a different degree in Scripture, but nevertheless the same thing. Men were moved or carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, little application real quickly. The Word of God in a dark place. One day it'll become apparent that the world is dark to us. One point or another, we will wonder about realities and we'll say, I don't understand, Lord. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on in my life or my family's life or this or that. And it'll all of a sudden we'll realize how little we know. And the Scripture's a comfort then. It was really good about what Mark shared this morning. Scripture is a comfort in the dark place. It's steadiness in a changing world. Do you know, some things just don't change. It was just so good about, again this morning, enjoy your wife. I mean, that's been true since God made Eve. It's steady. It's an eternal glory that God made a man and a woman. Some things, and you could change things, I'm telling you. I don't know what the next cause of our world will be. They'll tell us it's okay for some perversion will be told to us that it's okay. I'm not even going to speak what that perversion might be. But it's going to come. It will come. Once our society succumbs to this new perversion that they're telling us we need to accept, Once we've accepted it as a nation, there'll be another one. And they'll start screaming at us. And all along, God just said, be happy with your wife. It's unchangeable. It's irrefutable. And that's kind of what makes Christians kind of hard to, you know, why they don't like us. And they're never going to like us. It's light on our path. How many times have we wondered what to do about our own life or maybe in the church life, and the Word of God just speaks? Psalm 119 is just loaded with the glory of what the Word of God is. Isn't that true? Light to our path. I have a little watch here. It's a Timex. It's a super duper watch. And it glows in the dark if you punch the little stem here. And so when I'm trying to head off to the men's room there in the middle of the night, I'm shining this little light so I don't stump my toe on the furniture or something. It's a light. Because it's really dark. And if it's really dark, this light's good enough on my watch. It almost lights the whole room. Scripture is a light on our path. Our path. Your path. The Scripture illuminates the things of God to us and shows us the realities of life. It brings out truths that we would never know otherwise. Now, I've been thinking about Absalom. I'm throwing a curveball at you. But in the old days, people at church knew who Absalom was. Y'all are good folks. Absalom was King David's son. And Absalom decided he wanted to be king. David was just about too old and, you know, to be fooled with. And so he got David's mule, am I right? And started riding around on it, saying, I'm going to be king. I like the fact that David had a mule, don't you, Steve Clinch? Yes, he does. It's part of the Bible he likes. But now, the other day I was thinking, why did God have it that Absalom, riding under a tree, an oak tree in Israel, got his hair stuck in a tree? He's hanging there between heaven and earth. And I've wondered about it and I've thought about it. I'm going to tell you, the Scripture is wonderful in that it illustrates certain things. Things cannot be hidden and swept. David would have swept it all away and hidden it all. He said, you be nice if you see Absalom. Don't hurt him. Go easy on him. Because we love our children a lot. God was making it clear. God will make things clear ultimately. I don't care who you are, whether you're Obama, Donald Trump, or name some other leader. What's the German? What's her name? Merkel. That's right. Or Putin. Who would want the name Putin? Things will come out. You'll get your hair stuck in a tree and someone will cut you down out of there and kill you there. It'll become clear. The Scripture is full of men being shown for what they were. That is a wonderful story. It just is. It's a vivid reminder. Justice will come. And Scripture declares it. The Word of God, and we'll talk more about it, but I tell you, the Bible, I'm going to give you my personal experience of late. It's like a good shower when you've been real dirty. and you get under the scripture and you're studying it and you're looking into it and you're pondering over it and you're thinking about the details of scripture and you've opened your soul to it and you want to know what it means, and as you go sit before it, it's like water pouring out over you and washing off all the filth until you don't care what the news says or what the world says about anything. The realities of the Word of God just washes it all away. It's been a huge blessing to me. You go to bed worrying about everything, and you try to sleep, and finally you get up and you go and you say, "Well, I'm gonna go in there and study the Bible." And 2 hours later, your mind's clear. God's back on His throne. Truth is truth. The Word of God. We do well to heed it as a lamp shining in a dark place. And we do it until the Lord returns. Okay. Now let's pray, and we'll talk more about the scripture tonight. But if you have trouble understanding the Bible, all I could counsel you to do is say, "Lord, teach me. Lord, teach me." Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. And we thank You that Peter, quite literally, as he goes out the door, only has moments to live, tells us to read the Bible. Pay heed to it. Father, we would take his instruction. Make us people of the book. We ask this in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.